The bootleg fire has scorched nearly 400,000 acres in southern Oregon. Smoke is drifting over cities as far away as New York. So let's get the latest from Liam Moriarty. He's news director for Jefferson Public Radio in Oregon. Liam, can you give us an update on both the size of the fire and how much of it is contained?
Sure. The most recent numbers we've got are about 395,000 acres within the fire perimeter. That's only about 1,000 acres up from yesterday, and that constitutes, over the last 2 days, a real slowdown of the advance of the fire. They've got containment up to 38%, which is a good, solid containment figure. So it looks like they're starting to get a handle on this.
This is the fourth biggest fire on record in Oregon since 1900. It's odd, though, as we talk about these fires, that it feels like every time I talk about one, we're breaking a new record. There's been a string of massive fires. How are people in Oregon viewing this?
Well, I mean, certainly the folks who are directly affected by it, the folks in South Central Oregon, Klamath and Lake counties, they're feeling the effect, and certainly the smoke is affecting a lot of people, including, from what I understand, even folks on the East Coast like you. What makes this fire exceptional is how large it got, how quickly it got large, and how early in the season a fire this big is. And the thing that the firefighters keep talking about is how active the fire was. And we're seeing the sort of conditions and sort of fire behavior that they're more accustomed to see in late August or September than they are in mid-July.
How many people are affected by this fire at this point?
Well, this is a largely, this is a sparsely populated area. And once you get away from the city of Klamath Falls, which is a small city, there's not a lot of folks in general. There's some small communities. There's some housing developments out there. It's been estimated something like 2,000 people have had to evacuate up to this point. At last count, about 76 homes and a couple of hundred other structures have been destroyed. Again, serious and tragic, but as these things go, not anywhere near the type of destruction that you'll see in fires in more densely populated areas.
We were told that these forests were actually treated in order to prevent a fire of this size. They used prescribed burns, some logging. Why didn't those preparations work?
Well, it's interesting because there's a kind of a debate about that right now. The conventional wisdom is that in order to try to prevent fires or prevent them from being as intense as they've been getting, is you go in, you remove excess trees, remove excess branches, and thin things out so that there's less fuel. And that's sort of the mainstream thought of how you deal with these things. There's a growing body of research that suggests that the climate signal and that the weather conditions being engendered by climate change are overpowering whatever effect reducing fuels may have. And so that if you're having the type of fire weather that we've been having here, in cases like that, it doesn't matter that if you've reduced the fuels because the fire just blows through anyway. It's interesting because both sides of that argument are pointing to this fire as proof either that thinning works or that thinning doesn't. So I've got reporters kind of talking to people and trying to figure out, where they're coming from on that. But it's interesting to me to see that both sides of that argument are using this fire as an example to prove their point.
So the governor of Oregon says we're seeing climate change play out before our very eyes. Do both sides of the debate at least admit that this historic fire season is at least partly due to climate change?
I don't think anyone seriously questions that. Look, this is always a kind of a hot, dry part of the country. And even in normal conditions, it's kind of always been that way. In recent years, it has been getting more so. And certainly we had that very intense heat wave a couple weeks back that everyone heard about. We've been in extreme drought conditions for several years now, especially in this part of the state. And I don't think there's any question, given that the extraordinary spread of this fire, it went from 150 acres to 3,000 in the course of a few hours. It was growing by tens of thousands of acres a day up until just a few days ago. And they say it's basically how hot and dry and windy the conditions are, which are perfect for rapid spread. And those are all conditions that are predicted to be how climate change plays out in this particular ecosystem.
And how's the air quality where you are, Liam?
Where we are, we're in Ashland. So we're on the other side of the mountain, about 60 miles away and to the west of the fire. And the wind is blowing the opposite direction. So you folks on the East Coast have been getting hit by the smoke much more than we have here, just on the other side of the mountain range.
Interesting. We may be feeling the at least respiratory effects of the fire more than you are.
Sure.
That is Liam Moriarty, news director for Jefferson Public Radio in Oregon. Stay safe, Liam, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Celeste.